Jab and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. Round 5 of the AFL season has been run and won.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
And get Purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session.
Nice to see you, Damo. Always on a Monday.
Hello, Jim. Hello, Bill. And then, Jim, I want to know right off the top here, are you now a buyer of the Melbourne Footy Club stock? Because I am.
No, I don't think they're beating anyone, really. I mean, Geelong's obviously a very good scalp, but I'm not sure how well the Cats are going.
No, to your point, they've beaten Frio, St Kilda, GWS, Geelong, and as of yesterday, Hawthorn. And apart from Geelong and maybe GWS, there's not too many teams will challenge.
I tell you when I'll buy the stock.
Yeah.
At about 10:30 Saturday night. Yep. If they can bowl Richmond over, then I'm buying. But I just worry because they do turn the footy over, and Richmond are better than any club in the comp at hurting you if you turn the footy over.
So do you think that they'll get the audit that Richmond usually gives most footy clubs?
Yeah, I think I expect Richmond to win that game because I think they will prey on Melbourne turning the footy over.
Okay.
If the Demons can be really good with their ball movement and win, then I am happy for Demons fans to say, there you go. We are legitimate, but I need to see this week, to be honest.
All right. Well, I'm going to watch this game against Richmond on Saturday night, thinking they can win, not expecting them to, but I'm not going to lose too much faith in them if they hang on for a period of time.
Who do they bring in? Ben Brown ready? Wiedemann ready?
I'll tell you, Jim. Here we go. Sam Wiedemann kicked 7 goals on the weekend for the Demons, and Ben Brown kicked 3.
Of those two, the way it's being fed out of the VFL system, Jim and Bill, is that Wiedemann would be the more likely to come before Brown.
And Brown because he's not ready?
Not as ready, Even though, to Bill's point there, he kicked a few in the VFL in the same game as Wiedemann. Wiedemann is said to be closer. Fritch is the other one too, Bill,
Fritch
isn't he?
Injured.
With his hand as to how quickly he can come back. So.
And Neville Jetta played well too. Yep. So maybe.
Well, Beckett we know is a star. I love him. I tell you who else is a star. We're going to talk about David Mundy. Again,
Tuesday.
People underrate him. I don't know how, because he is a legitimate star of our comp. Christian Salem is an unbelievably good footballer, I reckon.
Clean ball user.
A beautiful user of the ball, Bill. Clean, never goes to ground, really gets beaten in a one-on-one. He's a bloody good footballer.
Kicks it well, Jim. If you can kick it, what's the game yesterday? I don't reckon one bloke hit. Tom Hawkins was going to get that frustrated. They can't kick.
No.
Well, I don't know what happens with players.
It
stands out. Mundy stands
beautiful
out.
Kickers of the ball.
Those two stand out because they kick the ball well. There's a message to the kids.
I totally agree.
And this is not a secret, given he's already got 4 All-Australian jackets, but Max Gorn is going to get a fifth this year, isn't he?
He took the piss, didn't he?
Didn't he?
He just sat behind the footy and squeezed the air out of it. He was on track to beat Duck's record until he had a big stint on the boundary on the sideline there late.
Let's
he had
just say
8 contested marks halfway through the last quarter.
Let's just say he went past Duck. Okay,
he's a star.
You broadcast that game for 7, Jim. Did you notice there seemed to be a real vibrancy in the members area?
Oh yes.
When Maxie started to take apart the last quarter.
Well, of course the MCC members are mainly your Melbourneites.
Yes.
And I love it because they get up and about. They got the chinos on. The Ralph Lauren stores are empty.
The
they all come.
Platter.
And
Aaron
they
Williams.
All, exactly right. They all
Isn't
come
it
piling
good?
In.
Isn't
it's
it
brilliant.
Good?
Yeah, it is. It's great.
But it's great to have a look at the ladder. Western Bulldogs, Melbourne, and Sydney. It's great to see that.
And just one more notice there on Jones, Nathan Jones, Bill, who I thought for many years now was going to struggle to get to 300.
Yep.
He's going to get to 300,
and
he gets there on Saturday night.
300 games. He's only the second player, Melbourne player, to reach 300
David
games.
Neitz.
David Neitz, and that's unbelievable. I thought for sure there'd be 300 gamers at that club.
Yep.
Second player, Nathan Jones. Well done.
And been a beauty. We love him. So that is a great achievement. GWS?
Yeah, they're the other ones I thought were the big winners out of the round 5 action. It was a strange round. There were some good performances, but in terms of the news lines that came out of it, the fact that they were able to come to the MCG in round 4, fix up Collingwood unexpectedly, it just gave them some belief, Jim, didn't it? And they withstood a 5-goal performance by Buddy Franklin to beat the Swans on the weekend, just gone. And they did it with some of the kids coming through, Jim. It's not just Toby Green. It's also Tom who's putting together a nice patch of form. And he was a high draft pick and will be a good player. But he's really coming of age in the past fortnight.
What about the players come back for 2 games, the assistant coach?
How good.
And they've had 2 wins.
Big Mummy. Shane Mumford.
And they love running behind Toby Green, but also Big Mummy. He just splits them open and away they go.
Yep.
It's no coincidence that their centre clearance work, their ability to crunch around the ball, has happened in the only 2 games he's played
this
year.
Who did we speak to? Jacob Hopper yesterday on the Sunday Footy Show. He said, mate, if you saw him during the week, If it was a horse, you'd put him down.
Yep.
He's limping around. He's got ice on his shoulders, on his head, on his thighs.
Yep.
He doesn't train because he can't. He comes in a wheelchair, and then they get him up, and he has soup. Can only eat soup. I don't know why. Soup.
I'll tell you what he does. The same bloke, though. At the start of the game, he just starts looking around the circle, and he goes, after I'm finished with him, I'm coming after you.
Right.
And if you get anywhere near me, I'm flattening you as well. And I don't care who you are, Bill. I don't want big 120 kilos landing on top.
And he's running on empty halfway through the third quarter.
That's
and he just keeps going.
The only thing that gets him going after the game, the barbecue. He gets over there with sausages.
Well, the pizzas come into the room.
No, sausages.
Drop a couple of them.
No. 21 he has.
Have you got all the stereotypes of him out of the way, Bill?
Yeah, I think
you got them
all. Dom Sheed, just three goals in a minute and a half.
Before we go, I just want to – I love the GWS-Western Bulldogs rivalry. We know it goes back to 2016. Yes. It took off again when Nick Haynes got hit by Bontempelli in 2019, and then the subsequent aftermath in that first final that year when Toby Green took on Bontempelli.
Yep.
And there's been issues along the way. They hate each other, Jim. Mm-hmm. So
Friday
I'm liking
night.
That. So the Giants are coming out of a Sydney rivalry on the weekend, which they've dealt with, into the Western Bulldogs on Friday night.
Canberra.
And we know that – Toby's going to like that stage. Yeah, he's good, isn't he? So
never cool again. Why is there no more Thursday nights?
Not on your life.
As we discussed, Bill.
No, Toby.
Yeah.
Why? The AFL, I believe, Bill, is packaging it up to present to the broadcasters as its own right to be sold as part of the broadcast rights beyond 2024.
Is that right, James?
I don't know that I've heard that. I like it, though. I love Thursday night.
Yeah, I do too. So do I.
I'm gonna miss it this coming Thursday night, and for at least the next two, and quite possibly for a whole lot more. There will be a few more in the back end of the season, but not necessarily in the next 5 to 6 weeks. Dom Sheed, you touched on, Jim. Look, in 2018, he benefited, didn't he, when Andrew Gaff got suspended. He was playing waffle at the time, effectively, Bill, came in, and then became the hero of all time with that goal he kicked in that year's grand final. This year, he's benefiting again from other injuries to other key midfielders, in Yeo being out indefinitely still, and also the latest setback to Shuey. And the rejigging of that whole midfield group, he's as prominent as anyone. You saw it on Saturday night. Three goals in the space of 2.5 minutes and just took that game away.
No, Kalgoorlie boy.
Yeah.
And they go missing out there, Bill. if you don't mind your step in Kalgoorlie, you can easily become absent.
What did you describe it as when you were interviewing Dom Sheed on Saturday? That it was like the Vegas of Australia?
It's
people
the
just
West.
Go there and sometimes they don't come out of there.
They can just turn a blind eye to stuff.
Cold case.
That's it. So just mind your step when you're in Kalgoorlie.
Well, I did, Jim. Stepped into a couple of establishments there.
Did you?
Yes.
That'll do you. All right, we'll have a little break. What we'll do is get back and discuss some of the other goods and maybe mobs that aren't going as well.
It's the Rush Hour, Triple M. James Brayshaw and Billy Brownless and Damien Barrett is in the studio to chat round five on the Rush Hour.
All right. What else did you like out of the round,
Perth? I like the way Port Adelaide handled themselves. And while many may have thought that was expected, what they did against Carlton, they still did it. They had their own problems when it came to injury and unavailability within the game itself, with Houston going down and having some issues with Hamish Hartlett. But they're doing everything right, aren't they, in challenging and trying to get at least one step further than their prelim final of last year. I like them. Western Bulldogs, Bill, you mentioned them still sitting on top of the ladder with a whopping percentage of 178.6, and they just did a number on Gold Coast. I mean, they would get more benefit out of some training sessions in a given season than they got against the Suns on the weekend. And
where are they at? The
Suns? They're a worry, Jim. Do you want to talk about them now, or do you want to talk about them in the bands?
They just meander.
Yeah, they do. Mm. They haven't even been able to do what they've done the last 5 years this year, and that is start well.
Yes,
every other year, they've either had a 3-2 or 2-3 scoreline, which by their standards is good compared to this 1-4 scoreline they've got right now. And that one win coming against North Melbourne, who, as we all know, is the only team yet to win a game in 2021. So to answer your question, I don't know. Matthew Lloyd made some really strong comments today on Access All Areas that the cumulative effect of losses for people like King and Rankin and Lukosius and others around him, Bill, it gets to the point where when they are presented with an offer that is compelling to go back to their home states or to another club, they've got to factor it in that they're batting. I mean, I think he said Rankin had won three matches of the whatever he's played, the 20 or something he's played. And
the great example of that is David Swallow, who I think has also been a really, really good soldier for that footy club.
Yeah.
But he's going to have one of the more anonymous careers.
Yeah.
Isn't he?
Because of who because, drafted him, yeah, and because of who he chose to stay with.
And he's loyal, yeah, and so he stayed there, but they've won about two games in the time he's been there. It is a concern. Carlton worry me too.
Yeah, yes. they're a massive
worry.
They
got Brisbane this week at Marvel.
Yep.
That's a game they've just got to find a way to win.
Well, they keep saying that, don't they, about themselves, and yet they keep dishing out performances that are substandard. The two wins they've had this year against Fremantle, which may be better than we gave them credit for at the time, but Gold Coast is the only other win they've got. So I'm a non-buyer, to use that term that I used on Carlton, Bill. I just hear words. I hear David Teague constantly referring to positives every single time he loses a game of footy. I mean, he tried to get a positive out of the fact they had more scoring shots and more inside 50s. I mean, it didn't matter. They had 28 points in arrears on the final siren. Three of those goals they kicked in that game came in the last 3 minutes of complete junk time. It could have easily been a 60 or 70 point loss. So I don't know where they are.
Their VFL side got beaten by Southport on the weekend at Carlton at Icon Park.
You alluded us to that yesterday, Bill.
I think this is a great win by Southport. Yeah. First time in the VFL, obviously. They come down here to Carlton and they win. That's a good effort by the Sharkies.
Don't know what to read into that at this stage, but wouldn't necessarily be anything good to read in from a Carlton perspective, Southport. I wouldn't have thought. Brisbane did a number on Essendon, didn't they? They got backed on their home deck and they used that wet ball, that soggy ball, really, really well in a way that Essendon wasn't able to cope with. And they somehow racked up a score of 100 points.
One goal and a half.
A very wet game of footy.
Bombers. So, I know the conditions weren't great, but you've got to be able to kick more than a goal and a half. A
couple other quick ticks. Geelong, it was an ugly game to watch, but a five-goal win against North Melbourne. North was okay by their standards.
North were good. Yeah. Ben Cunnington is a bloody star. I don't know what's going on with Geelong. There's disconnect in the back line, disconnect in the midfield.
Do they have a change in personnel
in
now,
the forward line?
Bill, because now you have been accurate in what you've been saying since round one when Jeremy Cameron, it was known that he had done a hamstring. You even doubted whether he'd actually come down from GWS to the Cats. But apparently there's been a sighting because Chris Scott said this about him last night when it comes to his availability to play his first game for the Cats this weekend.
Ready to go. He's in.
He's in, Bill.
Is that all he said?
In.
He didn't even say who it was.
That was about Jeremy Cameron.
No, it could have been about, Darcy
Oscar.
Fort.
Oscar.
He was all right yesterday, Oscar.
Was he?
Had his best game for the Cats.
Did he?
He was very good.
So maybe it was Oscar.
No, I don't think it was Oscar. But it'd be nice to get him back. But they're not clicking, the Cats. I don't know I honestly can't work out what's wrong with them. I don't know if the coaches know what's...
Not a lot of sizzle in their ball movement, is it? It's very stagnant. Yeah. They're not taking the risks that they normally do.
Well, they're trying a bit more. They tried a bit more.
It's against North they're trying it, Bill, and they couldn't crack it until halfway through the last quarter.
And I only had two players in the paper. I'm putting the two best players, no one else. So the best players for me were Parford, outstanding, and Tom Stewart. That's it.
That was it.
I reckon.
Yeah, okay.
Mate, I just can't work them out at the minute.
Does Cameron change things dramatically enough?
He could.
Jim, in yours?
Yeah, they've already got a really good key forward, so it's not like they don't have one of them. I don't know. I just don't see the real excitement in their ball movement. But you don't win a flag in April. So
we come in today and they've been poor for 5 weeks.
And they're 3-2.
And they're 3-2.
Yeah, no, they'll be right.
I reckon they're probably going to take that, aren't they?
West Coast is interesting to me. The huge injury list. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is now, isn't it? With Hearn being added to Yeo and Shuey, and then Petricelli was out for a long time. Frio had a form line that was similar to West Coast's in that it could win at home but not away. It got that away win that it so desperately needed, albeit against the Crows. I say albeit because they're not meant to do too much this year, but it was on the back largely of the man you've long loved, Jim, David Mundy, who turns 36 in July.
It might be over the last 10 years my favourite footballer, David Mundy, and a ripping fella too.
Yep.
And stupid little Mekong Steve, undernourished Steve, got 33 of it as well.
Going all right, isn't he?
Well, he goes all right when they don't put any time into him.
Yeah.
Right. When they do that, he doesn't find it as much. Well, he's got to work his way through that
just
bit.
Just on your nephews, Angus plays his 100th game this week.
He does.
It's a good effort.
He does. And he will be because he's a... humble kid. He'll be very happy that Jonesy's playing his 300th, so all the focus will be there, and he'll just be able to get his helmeted head probably out in the wing. And
so he's not like a Brayshaw then that we know.
Well, his old man's not got no class attached to him.
Imagine if it was Jim. If it was Jim running down his 100th, he'd run out in front of Nathan Jones. He'd take off, run through the banner.
Nude.
You would.
I'd be nude.
we wouldn't see anything.
Oh, wouldn't you?
One more positive. Richmond, you touched on them before. They just do what they need to do, don't they? And they did a number on St Kilda way back Blake at the start of the round, Bill. And it feels a long time ago, doesn't it? Shane Edwards, how good. He's played 15 seasons of footy.
Has he played 300 yet?
No, but he's nearing.
Yeah.
I reckon what he did last year when he came back from that prolonged period out, and he had to train on that little 45-metre by 40-metre patch of grass with Gary Ablett, then came back out and played round 22 and just seamlessly slotted back into that premiership winning team. He's a freak. In the equal to any other of those big names at Richmond.
Purple, I said on air the other week, he's a Hall of Famer for me, and everyone's going, Shane Edwards, are you joking me? I'm like, mate, you look at the body of work he's put together, he should end up in the AFL Hall of Fame.
I'm coming around to that way of thinking, Jim, because he hasn't had the headlines that the others have had.
And doesn't want them.
No, he hates them. Yep. Like, you go and approach him for an interview, and he does it because he's such a good bloke, but he just does not want to do it. Yeah. We touched on Carlton before in the negative. St Kilda needs, as coming out of that conversation with Richmond, twice now in the past 3 weeks, they've had 70-plus point losses, and good team somehow managed to not lose that heavily in that period of time. So the conundrum for them was that there was a win against West Coast in between those two bad losses, but they're just not doing enough this year to suggest they're going to go further than last year, let alone even potentially reach the finals, which they did last year and won one.
Any giraffes on the Sunday for Wildebeest or any of the big five? Did Bill discuss?
Polar bear. Left-handed, they are. Polar bears.
Are they?
Yeah.
Left-handed.
And then, if they ever come at you, just watch the left.
Left.
I've worked out, you know what the problem with St Kilda is?
What's that, Bill?
Under pressure.
Jim?
Under pressure.
That's it? I'm waiting for something more.
No. Bit of pressure. Just put pressure on them. Right. They're no good.
That's all.
Yep, there you go. Right, okay. We had a good show. I had a good list about, what was it, photo shoot.
That went wrong. Actually, it was very
Have
good.
You seen Hutchie's list? His photo shoot?
No.
He's got.
Oh, with the pads on.
He's
playing the back foot cover drive.
With one foot in the air.
That one.
And a pad on.
Hey, Damo.
Yes.
Anzac Day crowd. Yep. We saw the biggest crowd at an AFL game since a couple of years ago.
2019 Grand Final. Yes.
54,000.
Yep.
What are we going to get for Anzac Day?
Bill, the latest that's coming out of the government side of the equation here, and that is the most important one when it comes to this, is that there will not be a resolution on that until Thursday at the earliest. Right. That then puts in jeopardy the potential for 100,000 crowd. Right. I say that because tickets are being sold as we speak. Mm. And if they get to a certain number by Thursday, it may well be just too hard to increase it up to the 100 if they've already got close to 75. It'll be 75 at least if that's how many people want to go. But again, people getting tickets, as we've discussed a few times, it's hard. Yes. It's difficult. It's an ordeal. And I just hope that not everyone is going to just walk away from what has become an ordeal. The Saturday night game.
Will there be a bigger crowd Saturday night?
That's the possibility, Richmond, given that Melbourne. That particular crowd got 80,000 a couple of years ago, 82,000, I think it was, so back in 2018. So, I think there's every chance that will rival the crowd they get the next day on Anzac Day itself.
Melbourne home game.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
nice collect.
D's fans.
Nice collect.
Go D's.
Good to see you, Purple. Thanks for dropping in.
Cheers, boys. Damo's recovery session.